Harry, thank you for that testimony. 70 years. I'm glad to know that you only have one wife. That's going to cause me a lot of problems. Good morning. Well, we come to the Lord's table this morning, and this is not the Baptist table. This is the Lord's table. And if you're here this morning and you're not a member of this church, but you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't believe in closed communion. We believe that you can join in with us today, and we gladly accept your presence and your participation. Amen. God has been so good, his grace, his mercy, his love. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. See, the book of Hebrews, there's not certain who wrote the book. Some believe it's Paul. It's not a certainty. But it's really the first Messianic Jews. They were the Jews that had come to Christ. This letter was written to them. And if you can stand, I'm going to ask you to stand, and we're going to read in chapter 12, Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 14. It says, "Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." Peace and holiness. "Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched." He's talking about Mount Sinai when the law was given. "And that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more." It was so awesome. Verse 20. "For they could not endure that which was commanded, as if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it should be stoned and thrust through with a dart." The mountain was holy that day. "And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, 'I exceedingly fear and I quake.' But ye are come unto the Mount Zion." See, we got the law, and now they talk about the grace. Paul, whoever wrote this, talks about our grace. And he talks about the city of David. It says, "But ye are come unto the Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, and heavenly Jerusalem, and to the innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and the spirits just men made perfect." And verse 24, "And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray, Father, that you would help us to focus on you today. You've called us here to remember your sacrifice for us. Lord, help us focus upon you and that sacrifice that has given Harry, as he talked all these years, new life, new hope. Every one of us here, you've given us hope. Lord, we remember that sacrifice today. Bless us now, Lord, as we enter into this communion. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. See, the theme of the book Hebrews is for us to go on to maturity in Christ, to grow up and have the mind of Christ and the heart of Christ. Lord Harry, as you went through all those different things as a young man. But see, some of these new Messianic Jews that had been won to the Lord were talking about going back. You can imagine this. Can you imagine being in a Jewish family and how strict they are, as we were talking about, Harry, talking about the strictness of this Dutch? And all of a sudden, you come to the Lord and you become a Christian. And things are so different. The love of Christ. But some of them were thinking they missed their roots, and they missed that, and they were going back. In the book of Hebrews, it talks about running a race. And there are those who run, and those who watch, and those who quit running, and those who stagger down the track and lose heart. See, the people that this letter was written, went to wanted to go back to the old laws and forsake the gospel of grace. Can you believe that? And over in this letter, it's the word better. Jesus is better. This old way, Jesus had given us the new covenant. In His blood, the new covenant is better than the old covenant of the law. And Jesus is better than the angels. Jesus' blood is better than the blood of bulls and goats. And He says, go on to something better. Verse 24 speaks of better things than that of Abel. Don't go back. And He said, some are dropping out of the race. And what's the goal of the race? Look at verse 14. It says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Think about this. So as we run toward the goal, and that goal is the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 11, He says, no discipline seems to be joyful. No one likes to be disciplined. When we get out of line or out of our lane in a race, and he's whoever's writing this with Paul maybe, but is saying that they're in a race, and Paul liked to talk about races, but it might be in Paul. But Christ in you, Paul said, is the hope of glory. And the Holy Spirit is to live in you and control you. But see, our flesh doesn't always want to be controlled, does it? No chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Watch this. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. How? Through the power of the Holy Spirit in you, living in you, God's Spirit. Now, if you would, if you're in your Bible, look at chapter 7. I want to go back to verses 1 and 2 and just look at them for just a minute. And it's a different scene here. In chapter 7, there's a Christophany happening. That is when a type of Christ shows up in the Bible. And so it says, for this Melchizedek, you've heard of Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. This is back in Genesis. And this Melchizedek shows up, and to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. First being, by interpretation, king of righteousness. There's only one king of righteousness, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And way back in Genesis, we talk about the Trinity shows up, and Jesus shows up, and it's a Christophany. And after that, also king of Salem. He's the king of Salem, which is king of peace. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's who Jesus is. So he's saying our two goals remind us of our Lord's priestly ministry. He was the king of righteousness and the king of peace. And God is trying to say to us this morning, as we run this race in the life that we live today, We will cross the finish line. And one day we will see the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can't quit. It's not allowed. We're not allowed to quit. And your goal is to pursue peace. Peace and holiness. Peace and holiness. These things come into our lives by surrender. By surrendering to the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who don't have peace usually don't have holiness. And those who don't have holiness don't have peace. But those who do have holiness have peace. Think about this race that we run in. And we come this morning to think about the blood that was shed for us. And three things. There are three things, directions we need to look. First one he gives us, he says, to look back. When Jesus was serving this meal with his disciples, he said, "As often as you do this, do in remembrance of me." Remember, look back. Think about Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15, 16, and 17 says, "Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, causing trouble, and many be defiled." Verse 16, "Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for a morsel of food sold his birthright." Verse 17, "For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears." Paul or someone else is writing this, but why are they telling us about Esau? Why is he telling us to look back? Look at verse 12 and 13. It says, "Strengthening the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet." They were running all wrong. Their hands were dangling down and their knees were feeble and they were weaving in and out of the lane. And they were running side and wobbling back and forth in the lane. And verse 13, it says, "What is lame may get worse." Did you know that? It may become dislocated. But stop all of this so it can be healed. They weren't following holiness. When we were spiritually lame, if we kept running in the flesh, things get worse. Have you ever noticed that? He says, you need to look diligently. Don't be profane. Profane means common in means, like most of the rest. You don't want to be like everybody else. Today, do you want to be like the world? Like everybody else? Don't follow the crowd. God calls us to a higher standard than the world. And we are peculiar people and we are special people. Called to holiness. It means outside the temple or belonging to God. And we belong to God. And we're bought with a price. And he called Esau a profane, common person. You all know the story of Esau, don't you? This is a very important story, especially today. But Esau sold his birthright for a bowl of soup. And here's the problem. Afterward, Esau wanted to get his birthright back. And though he sought it with tears, it didn't come back. The writer's saying, it's possible for you to get into this race and forget the goal. Forget the goal is holiness and peace. And that can only be had by yielding to the Holy Spirit of God. And you wobble off course. Then later you want back in. You want back in your lane. But somehow you don't get there. And he says, this is something that you are to be diligent about, to look carefully into. Don't run this race like it doesn't count. This race counts. There's no making a makeup test for this race. Did you know that? When it's all over and you stand before the hopefully the judgment seat of Christ instead of the judgment seat of the lost, There's no makeup test. There's no practice race. Friends, this is the real thing. In 1 Peter chapter 1, 15 and 16 says, in all your conduct, we are to be holy as God is holy. And we can't do that without God's help. So let me tell you this morning, this table before us this morning, you can't live a double life when it comes to this table. Because the Word of God tells us it will bring judgment to your life. I don't say you have to be sinless, but you need to come to this table this morning with a sense of looking back and with understanding. And Esau sold his birthright. He was a profane person, and he had no boundaries, and he was wobbling down the track and with his hands flinging around, and he was just walling down, and he wasn't running the race right, and he had no desire to pursue holiness, and he wanted peace without holiness. It doesn't work that way. Esau was forever the loser. He had so lightly valued spiritual things in his life and realities, and he'd thrown them away for a brief moment of physical comfort. Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 20 says, talking of the end times, it says, in that day, holiness of the Lord to the Lord shall be engraved on the bells of the horses. Now, what's he talking about? He's talking about the millennial reign of Christ. You know, there's a lot of preachers today that don't believe in a literal, they're all millennial, and they don't believe in a millennial reign. Well, I do. It says in there that every step that the horses make in the millennial reign will ring the bells that say, holy, holy, holy. That's the way it should be with us. Everything we do should be holy. The deals we make in business, the tests that we take in the school, whatever we're doing, we should do it with holiness in our minds and right uprightness, because we represent the Lord Jesus Christ. Every step you take ought to ring out, holy, holy, holy. He's telling us to be careful, to look back, to be careful in three ways, to be careful to pay attention to what we follow. What are you following? What did you follow last week? Pursue peace. Be careful what you feel. Be sure you don't feel bitterness. Bitterness can come to a life in a church. Did you know that? Bitterness can divide families. See, it divided Esau's family. In fact, this is a really big deal here with Esau and Jacob. It's on the news every night. Esau and Jacob, the Jews and the Arabs, the Muslims. When you fall short of the grace of God, you hold other people to a higher standard than you do yourself. You judge other people in a way you would not judge yourself. Some of you lack grace for others, but you have grace for yourself. God gave you grace. He did. God forgives you. Yes, He does. But Pastor, I'm not going to forgive him. I'm not going to forgive her. Do you know what she said to me? Friend, that's the failing of the grace of God. God's grace does not fail. But we can fail to take advantage of His grace. And we fail to depend upon His grace. Give careful attention to what you project. And watch out for bitterness. In verse 16, he uses the word fornicator. I've never met a person that has a lust problem that didn't have an anger problem. Proverbs 14:10 says that every heart knows its own bitterness. There are sins that will rob us of the enabling of God's grace. What's the root of bitterness? Unforgiveness. It says that many will be defiled. Why am I bringing this up this morning? Because you can partake of this table this morning with bitterness. You cannot come But you cannot come without grace. Be sure that you look back and give careful attention to what you follow. Give careful attention to what you feel. And watch this. Give careful attention to what you forsake. Because Esau forsook some things. According to the Word of God, he forsook God's goodness and God's grace. And Esau was a carnal, worldly person that had no appetite for spiritual things. And he sold his birthright for a measly bowl of soup. Hebrews says that the tears of old age do not undo the foolish decisions of youth. Maybe I ought to repeat that for you. It says the tears of old age do not undo the foolish decisions of youth. I believe everybody in here could agree with that one. Just look back, Harry. Some of the things you did when you were struggling as a young person. Here was a man that was more interested in present gratification than the future satisfaction of his life. It's a warning to all of us. Whatever you do, don't live for lesser things. Then he says, look up. Before this table this morning, I want us to look up. Look at verse 18. Here's a warning from God. It says, for you have not come to the mountain that may be touched and that burned with fire and the blackness and darkness and tempest. And he's talking about Mount Sinai, the law giving in verse 19, and the sound of the trumpet and the voice of the words, so that those that heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. They couldn't stand it when God was speaking and Moses came down and told them what was going on. Look at verse 20. In fact, I want to read it here for you, verse 20. This is chapter 12. It says, for they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned and thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto the Mount Zion. That's the city of David, Mount Zion. And unto the city of the living God and the heavenly Jerusalem. And to the innumerable company of angels. And to the general assembly. Church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. And to God, the judge of all. And to the spirits of just men made perfect. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. What's he saying? He's giving a contrast between the old way and the new way. And he's giving a contrast between law and grace. And watch this. Not only look back this morning, we look up. We remind ourselves as we partake of this table this morning here. There's something here about law and there's something about grace. And he drew a picture here of two mountains. One from Mount Sinai where the law was given. And in verse 22, a picture of Zion. Psalms 87, the Lord that loves the gates of Zion, the city of our God that David built. I mean, there's some phenomenal things that happened when they went to get the Ten Commandments and the sounds of the trumpets and the audible voice of God Himself. And Moses was terrified, and yet he was a guy that confronted Pharaoh. But when the animals touched this mountain, they were killed, and there was bloodshed there. We need to have a healthy fear as we approach this holy thing this morning, this holy table, set apart to remember our Lord's death till He come again. God is a God of Mount Sinai. He gave the law. He doesn't let sin go without restitution. But we have not been called to Mount Sinai. Amen? We have been called to Mount Zion. Then he talks about heaven, and it says it's a real place. And he talks about its location, and he says it's a place of God's protection. It's the city of David. It's the new Jerusalem. But he's talking about heavenly Jerusalem here. And it has more protection than when David fought the Jebusites. The angels were there. It's a place of God's presence. It's a place of God's permanence. Oh, for the place of permanent home. You know, it's great. If you've been away for weeks, Jim, Myrtle, was it great to get home? They've been gone for a while. It's nothing like coming home. It's nothing like having a permanent place. And someday we will see Jesus. And we'll have that permanent place. He talks about heaven's location. Then he talks about heaven's population. And there are angels there. In verse 23, the angels' general assembly and the church of the firstborn is the church of the twice-born. That's us. And all your friends and family going to be there. I hope they are. Last night I couldn't sleep, and I just went through all of my family, and I thought of the ones that were walked away, and some are just lost, and they think they found their way, and they haven't. There's a real place called heaven. And you can't quit the race now and start wobbling and fainting. Don't quit walking with God now. It's heaven's location. It's heaven's population. In verse 24, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about heaven's jubilation. Man, I can't wait to get to heaven. It's not going to be a sad place. It's going to be jubilant. The marriage supper of the Lamb. Can't wait. And he says, Jesus' blood is better than Abel's. God told Cain, Abel's blood speaks from the ground and cries out for judgment. But Jesus' blood cries out for salvation. Abel's blood cries out for vengeance. Jesus' blood cries out for forgiveness. Abel's blood came from the earth. Jesus' blood came from heaven. And the Holy Spirit, who wrote the book of Hebrews, wants you to know, as you take this table this morning, this is a new covenant. It's a new promise. Jesus is better. It's better than the old way. He told these Hebrews. He's so much better. You look back, you look up, you stay in the race, and you pursue holiness. Jesus is worth it all. Do you believe that this morning? We come to this table, and I want you to bow with me before we partake of this table. I'm going to ask the deacons to come in just a moment. But I just want to say a prayer with us together. We need to examine ourselves as the Bible tells us to. Bow with me. Oh Lord, who alone searches the heart, we confess our utter unworthiness to partake of this holy sacrament today. Grant us by thy boundless grace to discern the body and the blood of thy Son, the Lord Jesus, that we may by faith be wholly united to him. Lord, we need to be in union with you today. God, help us to forsake the sin of the past weeks and days, and live our lives to thy glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The deacons would come, and I'm going to open the table.